This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I am Courtney Eck.
And I'm Sadie Eck.
Woo, you guys, I feel like I got shot out of a cannon, and luckily it's not my day.
The problem is that I feel like I got shot out of a cannon, and it is my day.
Not my problem. I was just in New Orleans for the weekend, premiering my film, my short film I shot, which was a thrill of a lifetime. Sadie was hosting our literal entire family for the eclipse. Lots of big energies in the air. So if I'm like, so why did Clifford decide to follow him to work? And you can be like, Courtney, that's a cartoon strip. This is a true crime podcast. Just gentle reminders like that will be helpful today.
I think we're in it together. We'll see what happens.
This is not Clifford the Big Red Dog.
No.
This is true crime. And what are we talking about today, Sadie Ray?
This is the Klein Falls Axe Attack.
Oh, God.
Thank you to our dear Deli. Oh. Hey, Deli, for writing this little gem. God. She knows how to pick them.
She really does. Definitely knows how to title them, too.
Mm-hmm. In 1977, Terry Gents was a 19-year-old college freshman at Yale on a cross-country bike ride with her roommate, Shayna. Shayna isn't actually her name, but Terry used it as her roommate's pseudonym in her book. Her name is out there publicly if you're looking for it, but we're going to call her Shayna to maintain her privacy. Shayna was from Wellesley, Massachusetts. Both of her parents were professors and researchers at a nearby college. Terry and Shayna decided on a whim to ride the Bike Centennial Trans America Trail, which sounds for some reason very 1970s. It's probably something that still exists.
Yes.
But the fact that that's what they named it, I think, came straight out of like the 60s or 70s.
It's so true. Everything in the 70s was trans, American, trans,
centennial.
Pan and trans. Yes. Mm-hmm. We just loved anything that sounded like an airline.
Yes, exactly. Yes. A train station.
Exactly. A pipeline. Anything line, long and liney.
And trans a lot of years.
Things. Yes. We love to span time and place in the 70s and then name things after it.
So on a whim, they decided to ride the Bike Centennial Trans America Trail, which is an 80-day trip spanning 4,200 miles across 10 states.
Yep, spanning, see?
Right. And remember, America is very big.
Very big.
Not as big as the Great Wall of China, though.
13,000 miles, you guys, if you hadn't gotten to that episode yet. 13,000 miles took 2,000 years to build. Yeah. I brought that up two nights ago.
I did too. We told my oldest child was telling the whole family at the eclipse party.
It's a good factoid to blow people's minds.
Neither of the girls had trained for the trip, but that was an afterthought. They were looking for self-discovery as they traveled the countryside, just like any 19-year-old kids do.
Yes.
Terry said, quote, "I really had no clue what America was about, but what I do remember is what you hear from the rock songs of those times, you know, like the Eagles or Fleetwood Mac, Go Your Own Way."
Oh, my God. Led Zeppelin is the reason I moved to California, because of the song Going to California. It really was that simple back then. Yes.
It was a sense that anything was possible and you just go out and make it happen. The women took a bus from the East Coast to Astoria, Oregon, where they started their journey. On June 22nd, the seventh day of their trip, so barely a week into this 80-day trip, Terry and Shayna stopped at Klein Falls State Park, a camping spot suggested in the Bike Centennial Guidebook. The park was located along the Deschutes River near Redmond, Oregon. As they arrived, they set up camp in the wrong part of the park, camping in a day-use area.
Mm-hmm.
Before the trip, Terry and Shayna agreed to stay only in safe areas, but Terry was exhausted from biking over the mountain and talked Shayna into camping at Klein Falls. They pitched their tent near the water, but both girls admitted they were uncomfortable and felt like they were being watched.
Oh, God. I know that level of exhaustion, too, where you're like, there's a really good chance I'm about to die, but I don't know if I care.
Right. Well, especially when your only other option is to get back Mm-mm. on the bike Mm-mm. and keep riding.
No.
You don't care. You're going to just go ahead and lay down on the ground and go to sleep.
And die.
Yeah.
I could freeze to death. Anything. It's fine.
Yep. Terry said about this feeling, quote, "It was an animal instinct of danger, and we both had it. We both had it separately, and we shared it with one another." They decided to chalk it up to paranoia. They ignored this feeling and went to bed.
Don't ever ignore the feeling. They know that now. Mm. You all know that listening, but don't. I know you want to go night-night. Get up and get back on the bike.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Terry was exhausted and quickly fell asleep inside her tent. But just 30 minutes later, she woke up and quickly realized there was a car on top of her, pinning her to the ground.
What?
A car.
I
read in an article that she heard squealing tires,
Mm-mm.
but didn't have the chance to understand. Like, boom, she had a car on top
Mm-mm.
of her. At first, she thought it was an accident. Maybe one of the teens who were known to cruise the state park got drunk and ran off the road. Quote, "I first thought it was an accident because it's preposterous to wake up under a truck," Terry said.
Yes.
Yes, Terry.
Preposterous is the exact right word for that experience.
But when she heard only one person exit the vehicle, she realized it wasn't drunk teens that had hit her. Then Terry heard Shayna tell the driver to leave them alone, followed by six sharp blows.
Mm-mm.
Quote,
absolutely not.
No. Quote, "At that point, I knew we were being murdered by a single psycho," Terry said.
Okay, Terry, I am endlessly sorry that this happened to you, but mm-hmm. your description of this is so spot on. I hope you became some sort of true crime writer, because I'm terrified of what you were saying with your words.
Yes. The attacker then stood over Terry, but she couldn't see his face without her contact lenses in, but she could see that he was wearing cowboy boots.
Mm-mm.
She also noticed that he was meticulously dressed in cowboy attire. Everything he was wearing looked like it had been ironed and tucked into place.
Oh, my God.
The worst. This is the worst.
Is this for real? This doesn't sound for real. I also just came from a horror film festival.
Right.
So this is very vivid for me. Right now.
Yes. No, it's so creepy. It's the worst thing I can think of.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you wrote it into a horror film, people would be like, ugh, give me a break. That's
exactly.
Too on the nose.
Yes. Terry could also see that the man was holding a piece of wood and then suddenly felt cold metal enter her body.
Mm-mm.
She was struck multiple times with either a hatchet or an axe. She wasn't sure which. Terry said she was kept awake and alert by a voice in her head saying, quote, "I'm too young to die." She struggled with the man, thrashing back and forth, begging him to leave them both alone, telling him to take whatever he wanted. For some reason, the man stopped his attack and did as he was asked. He slowed down and then gently lowered the axe over Terry's heart, which allowed her to grab the blade with her hands. When I first read that, I thought they meant, like, laid it on her body so she could hold it. But I think it was almost like slow motion. He was going to chop her in the chest.
Yeah.
But then decided, like, kind of ran out of steam or whatever and stopped before really doing significant damage, more significant damage than
Nobody
running her over with a truck.
Slow then, motion axe. No.
No. The man then took the axe out of her grip, turned around, and walked away. Terry watched as he walked back to his truck and left the camp. Terry and Shayna had been left for dead. In her memoir, Strange Peace of Paradise, she wrote, quote, The river rushes and crickets chirp, and I think this would be an ordinary cool summer night if it weren't for the fact that I'm laying here, cut open, with a raw sensation deep inside, in places I have never known. I feel wind blowing through my veins.
I mean, that is some damn fine prose, Terry, but fuck that.
Yep. After her attacker left, Terry found herself lying inside the now destroyed tent she'd been sleeping in. She described it as, quote, a piece of bloody nylon. Terry was terribly wounded. She had multiple gashes all over her arms and head. Her right arm was broken from where the axe sliced through her bone. She also had a crushed lung, broken collarbone, and broken ribs from being run over by a truck.
Oh, my God.
It turned out that the man hadn't just crashed into the tent. He had parked on top of Terry, then pulled forward to get off of her. The truck's weight left a temporary tire print on her body.
What the?
Because Terry had taken her contact lenses out when she went to sleep, she needed to find them and put them in before she could even try to get help. I get the impression she was pretty blind without them. Uh-huh. While she would normally need contact solution to put them in, once she found the lenses, they were pre-moistened by the blood dripping from her scalp.
Shut up. Also, contact lenses are hard when you're camping, and it's the 70s, right? We're in the 70s?
Yeah, so they're probably glass.
And I have to, like, everybody knows, forgetting to take your contacts out, putting them in, it's just a thing, no. You know? It's not a fun...
After you've been run over by a truck and hit with axe attacked...
No.
After getting her contacts in, Terry managed to stumble out toward the main road in an effort to flag someone down. Thankfully, she didn't have to wait long. Two teenagers who were out on a midnight drive found her just minutes later.
Oh my God.
Despite Terry looking like a character straight out of a horror movie, a woman walking out of the woods screaming and covered in blood, the teens decided to stop and help her.
Good job, teens. Good job, teens.
One of the teenagers said, quote, she was right there in the window and she was messed up. You could see it by looking at her. She was so bloody, it was dripping off her hair, off the ends of her hair. Terry was waving them down, so they pulled over to help. Terry told them that her roommate was back at the campsite and needed help. She got into the car and directed them where to go. But when they got to the campsite, the three of them saw a pair of headlights in the distance and realized they weren't alone. One of the teenagers said, quote, that really got the adrenaline going because they shined their lights, turned around, and then split and went up the hill without coming through the park to see what was going on, which was unusual. Uh-huh. I assumed for sure it was the attacker.
Terrifying.
Once they were sure the car was gone, they rushed to help Shayna and called authorities for help. When police and paramedics arrived, both women were rushed to St. Charles Medical Center in Bend, Oregon. They were both in very serious condition. Shayna's skull was hit half a dozen times with an axe. Those blows did serious damage to the part of the brain that controls eyesight. Mm. After making it through a 9-hour brain surgery... Mm-mm. She was able to gain a bit of her vision back, but was later determined to be legally blind, but suffered very little permanent brain damage otherwise.
Yeah. Is it because her brain is still growing and forming?
Probably. It's just so strong. It was like, pachoom, pachoom, keeping the axe. I don't know. I don't know. God. I will never understand how we can be so resilient.
Never.
At the scene of the crime, police examined the tire marks left in the dirt and determined that both of the vehicle's rear tires and one of the front tires were likely bald, while the other front tire had significant tread marks on it, meaning that it had been replaced recently.
Yep.
They made sketches of tire tracks, but otherwise they found very little evidence. The police had no description of the car, no eyewitnesses, and no fingerprints. When police began questioning Terry and Shayna at the hospital, Terry described their attacker as 5'11" tall, approximately 20 years old, wearing jeans and boots.
Oh, so this is a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
No. Why is that worse?
I don't know. Like young and tucked in and ironed. I will just never get that out of my head. Cowboy attire.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Because of her extensive brain injuries, Shayna had no memory of the attack and couldn't help police. Because the women camped in the day use area of the park, there was minimal security in the area.
Practically, say like they got arrested or something. I'm just so used to that. You know what
totally.
I mean?
Yeah, right.
They were issued a citation and they were framed for their own attack by the police.
Right. Practically speaking, there was no real chance of witnesses because they were in an area of the park that overnight campers shouldn't have been in. The state police lieutenant told news outlets, quote, "We can't find anyone who was in the park." They said the investigation would be delayed until either of the victims were in a condition where they could answer questions. Terry and Shayna spent a little over a week in the hospital. Just 1 week. Just one. That, like, how do you get axed in your head six times and then it's like a week later you're good to go home?
If I get a wisdom tooth extracted, I'm going to request like 2.5 weeks in the hospital for recovery. Yeah. No week. Mm-hmm. Brain
no.
Surgery week.
No. No.
Recovery.
No.
I need a week recovery from going to New Orleans and not drinking that much at all, really. Mm-hmm. I am going to need 2.5 weeks to recover from this.
Absolutely. I spent a lovely weekend with my beautiful family.
Yeah.
I'm done for.
Yeah.
I need to go to a spa stat.
Unbelievable. God. They just push on her brain and bounces right back. They're like, yeah, you know what?
You're good. You're good.
Got one of them real strong brains. So. Mm-hmm. You're going to be discharged. We'll wheelchair you out of here because that's protocol, but then you're on your own. You're just fine.
Yeah. Shayna never recovered any memories from the attack and told a local newspaper that she was glad about that.
Oh, yeah. God. Best case scenario, please. Mm-hmm. And thank you.
1 year after the attack, the investigation was still in the same place. The lieutenant overseeing the case said that they needed a suspect to confess or credible tips to make an arrest in the case. He added that the lack of a clear motive made it even harder to solve, saying, quote, "Crimes of this sort don't follow a pattern. There might not be another incident like this for another 10 years. Mm. And the next year, two years after the incident, police closed the investigation.
What?
Without the case being solved. Closed it.
Excuse me?
Uh-huh. Goodbye. Closed it.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't envy a police officer having to work in a place where there's just billions of different people coming through at any point in time. Like, but you don't have to close it.
No.
You can be like, yeah, we're probably never going to solve this because we're a campsite and that's
right.
Could be anybody, but not close it.
But also it's very likely it's a local.
Yeah.
That would be around to notice that these two women ended up at a camp that they know there's no staff or anything overnight. There's no security.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Terry didn't push back against the decision. Life kept moving on and they weren't interested in looking back. Both of them went on to finish their studies at Yale. Let's not forget that these ladies are at Yale.
No wonder their brains bounce back in a week. They got Yale brains. They've already been primed for that.
Right?
They've just been like exercising the shit out of those things. So they're real taut.
Yes.
They're real resilient brains.
100%. And guess what, Courtney? Shayna went on to become a doctor. She got axed in her head and she is now MD, Dr. Shayna MD. No big deal.
I don't know if I would prefer that my doctor had been axed in the head or prefer that they not, but
no, give it to me. If you
leaning toward prefer that they had, because
if you can get through, you survive an axe attack by a crazy psychopath. You could get through 9-hour brain surgery. You're out of a hospital within a week. And then you graduate from Yale. You go on to medical school. You are the doctor I want, period, forever. You should be the president of the United States.
To be the president
doctor.
Of doctors.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Not to mention just bedside manner. My God. Like,
either that or you'd have the worst bedside manner.
I was like, just going to say, be like,
oh, my God, really?
My belly really hurts. And she's like,
flips her beautiful hair back and is exactly. Like, just points at her scars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about pain. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Terry pursued a career as a screenwriter in Los Angeles.
Yeah. My God. Mm-hmm.
Why she is able to tell this.
To write so beautifully.
Yes, her story in such excruciatingly beautiful detail. Over the years, Terry convinced herself that this event hadn't changed her much. and that it didn't affect her.
Yeah, that's some 1970s shit. If I've ever heard it, I like it. It's my style.
Right? Hey. Stuff it down. Her scars could be hidden under clothing, making it easier to hide her past from others.
And I'm just kidding, you guys. Get the help you need. Get therapy.
Please, please.
Don't dissociate.
She said, quote, I felt like I wasn't interested in who attacked me. I wasn't interested in the place where I was attacked. For many years, I had disguised my avoidance and denial behind spiritually vacuous notions that I was vibrating on a higher plane because I was not angry at my attacker.
I mean, you're vibrating on a higher plane because you could take an axe to the brain.
Yes.
So to some extent, yes. But
yes, both can be true. You can be
a superhero brain.
And also deal with your trauma. Yeah.
Yeah.
But under the surface, subconsciously, the trauma was affecting her. She was filled with rage, denial, and fear. Terry said she started thinking more and more about the attack and started having reoccurring nightmares. Mm. She said, quote, when a force out of nowhere comes and just takes your power away, something cuts you down, you know, lays you low, ends your trip, almost ends your life. You're afraid of everything eventually.
Yeah.
Terry decided that the only way she could heal herself in the present was to make peace with her past. Mm-hmm. So 15 years after her attack in 1992, she returned to Oregon to find out who had tried to kill her. On starting her investigation, Terry said, quote, I didn't have any idea who attacked me. I didn't think I would ever find out. And even if she did find out, that person couldn't be prosecuted. At the time of her attack, the statute of limitations for attempted murder, do you want to make a guess?
Oh, no. 6 months.
It was just 3 years.
That was going to be my first guess. Yeah, that's so crazy.
Attempted murder.
Is there a statute of limitations on attempted murder currently?
I don't think so.
Yeah, there should not be.
God, 3 years. I can't do, I can barely, nothing. I can't do anything in 3 years.
Honey, yes, no. COVID started 4 years ago, you know?
Yeah, like, right?
No.
Like, that's nothing. Nothing. It's a blink of an eye.
Nothing.
By the time she started her own investigation, the statute of limitations had only been extended to 6 years. So it didn't matter even because it still was 15 years.
God.
Past. Somebody could run you over with a truck, axe you
in the
two
head.
Of you.
Nope.
And you get 3 years to try to solve that case.
I mean, at that point, you're like, it just doesn't make any good financial sense to not be running people over. Do you know?
Right. Exactly.
Might as well.
Like, well, and it makes sense why they
roll the dice
after 2 years. They were like, well, there's no way we're going to solve this in one more year. We might as well just move on to other cases because they are also piling up and we only have 3 years.
Yeah, time is of the essence when you're dealing with axe murder. God.
Yeah. In the beginning, she contacted Darlene Isaac, who went by Boo.
Yes, I love this story.
No, Boo was the girlfriend in the couple who helped Terry get to the hospital.
No way.
Yes. Boo agreed to meet with Terry and help her with her investigation.
I have chills.
I know. Terry also went to the Bend Public Library and identified herself as one of the girls who was attacked at the Klein Falls State Park. They all remembered the incident and helped her find news clips about the attack from the archives.
Oh my God.
I read a little snippet of an article where the librarians were like, fuck yes, we remember this and we can't believe you're like alive and healthy and fine.
God.
And so eager to help Terry.
I have so many chills.
Mm-hmm. Terry and Boo spent months making phone calls and meeting with anyone who might have information about the case. They were desperate to talk with people in the community after learning that nearly all the police records of the attack had been thrown out as part of an administrative procedure.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe that shit?
Kind of, though. I mean, when you have like
closed.
So many cases and they are literal physical paper files, I can imagine people being like, it's fine. Well, not that one's old. That's. But no,
there's
but
enough
also no.
land in Oregon. Just dig a cellar or something. Put the, you know, just in case somebody comes along and would like to do some research of their own.
Put in the, there's all those mountains. Put a little cave in one. Put it in the base
take
of
pictures
mountain.
Of it. Keep it. Pick pictures. Keep the pictures in a photo album in case somebody needs to see them. I don't know. There's got to be a solution other than throwing them away.
Oh, my God. It was harder. Things took a lot longer and a lot more space.
Yeah,
but you just did it because you did it. We did it for hundreds of years, thousands of years.
Yes. Yes. All the interviews, physical evidence, and crime scene photos were gone. Terry was able to obtain a 30-page report from the police record, but very little in the report helped her develop leads for the investigation. But just because the police had thrown out the files didn't mean that law enforcement didn't still care about the case.
Yeah.
Terry managed to get in contact with a sergeant detective with the Oregon State Police, who agreed to help her. I also read a little bit about how the local police were like, nah, we're done with that case. But the state was like, no, we very much hated that that never got solved.
Amazing.
The detective said, quote, "We took the case. I did the bulk of it by doing the traveling around. And my reason for taking the case was, first of all, to give her closure. If we do that. And second of all, if this individual was a serial killer or committing serial assaults, it was opened, but under the potential that he had committed other crimes." Mm-hmm. Which is also the surprising part of that, with such a heinous crime, to just let it go.
Exactly. Yeah, this is not a one-off. This guy didn't just like have a bad night.
Mm-mm. No, he's out there. If not doing the same thing to others, like murdering them, he's definitely assaulting people and... Yes. Has terrible anger issues.
Yes.
Like, feels like the understatement.
Yeah. He definitely was trying to kill those girls. That was not just a random punch, you know, at a bar or something.
Right.
Yeah.
During the investigation, there was a name that came up time and time again. It would take 5 years. But by 1997, Terry thought she knew who attacked her. In her book, Terry calls this man Dirk Duren. And just to give Deli credit, she kept that name, but I've decided that we are going to use his real name.
Yeah.
But his real name is Dick Dam.
Oh, my God.
And this is all alleged, all of this stuff that he maybe did. So Dick Dam. But I just, this guy.
Yeah.
Dam was just 17 years old at the time of the attack. And he had even been a suspect soon after the attack took place. Dam was from a well-respected family in the community, and Terry would later wonder if this had been a part of the reason why the investigation never took off.
It was. Yes, it was. Yes.
Yeah. Do you think? Yes.
Yes, I do think. Was. It did. Really, I can, 1,000%.
Yep. In interviews, people who knew Dam portrayed him as volatile and physically abusive. He was even known to torture animals.
Nope.
Yep. Of course he was.
Of course he was.
His girlfriend at the time of the attack remembered him as physically and mentally abusive. She said, quote, "He could turn from this really nice, yes, ma'am, thank you, ma'am, to Satan in his eyes." Mm-mm. I mean, it was just like two different people, night and day.
Yep.
The day after Terry and Shayna were attacked, Dam allegedly went to meet his girlfriend at a local park. So the day after the attack, and showed up drunk and angry. In broad daylight, he hit her several times and then began kicking her once she fell to the ground.
Oh, my God.
She ended up diving into a pond and swimming to safety as he screamed from the shore that he was going to kill her.
Fuck
at a park.
This guy.
Yeah. When she told her parents what had happened, they wanted to press charges, but she recalled law enforcement not taking it seriously, saying, quote, "They were told that since we were both minors to just forget it," is what the judge told my dad.
Yeah.
Let's all take a deep breath, because I think that if some women had just been axe attacked and then this guy is... She had to swim away from him to save her life. You maybe put those two things together and be like, this is some anger. This guy's got some real intense anger issues. But he's rich. And his family's important. And he wears nice ironed clothing.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And he's like, no, I can't face his dad at the fucking golf course if I had investigated this. So I'm just going to save my golf game and fuck those women and fuck that young woman. And I want to play golf with this guy.
Right. Yeah. Terry interviewed a witness who was at the park that day who corroborated the ex-girlfriend's story. She remembered being on the other side of the park and seeing the incident. Quote, "He was kicking her and she was just down there in a ball trying to keep him from kicking her anymore in the head. And I just remember thinking he was going to kill her." It was at this time that Dam's ex-girlfriend began feeling like he was capable of the attack at Klein Falls. So this was just days later. She's putting it together, thinking, yeah, this guy could have totally done this. She noticed that he had changed the tires on his truck, and she also noticed that the hatchet he always kept in his toolbox had gone missing.
Mm-hmm.
For Terry, though, the most damning evidence of all was the clothes that Dam was known to wear. It turned out he was a stylishly dressed cowboy, and he fit the description that Terry gave police.
It's pretty specific. I mean, Bend is kind of cowboyish, but
for sure.
Not like Wyoming.
For sure. Yeah, and I think it's also seemed a really specific type of way to wear the clothing, too.
Yep.
Dam's clothing was always ironed and tucked in, possibly because his mom still did his laundry.
God.
Uh-huh.
Oh, this man just existed out there. Probably still. Is he still alive?
He's still alive.
Mm-hmm. He's out there just being around other people.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's still alive, but I don't know for sure. Even though Dam's family and friends who were interviewed all described a person who was exhibiting psychopathic behaviors, he was never held accountable for what happened. The detective who took the case said, quote, "This bad seed thing and all that, I just don't buy it. We are created with the ability to reason, and this boy just keeps making bad decisions, one right after the other."
Well said. That's exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Why?
Why? Yeah, deal with your anger. These bad decisions and his general penchant for violence are what led everyone in the community to suspect that he'd been the Klein Falls attacker. In fact, he was so widely suspected of it that the locals started calling him Dick Dam the Hatchet Man.
I'm not even saying words.
No, yeah.
But that's just how it is. It still is. I would love to say that this is just like specific to the 70s and 80s, but it's still, I mean, dealing with this shit in El Dorado, like learning more stories about what's going on in El Dorado, Kansas, where Tori Bethel, we interviewed her family, talking to private investigators who were on the police force. It's just, that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People are like, oh yeah, they are terrible. They will frame you. They will cover up your, like, they just will actively. Mm-hmm. We know it. It is a fact. It is a known fact. It's not speculation. Everybody in the town knows it.
Yeah. Well, we grew up with families, notorious families that were known for violence and criminal activity. And it was well known. Everybody knew it and nothing ever was done about it. Or maybe not never, but I think they got away with a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dick Dam, the Hatchet Man.
God.
A man who employed Dam for a number of odd jobs said that when the attack occurred, Dam frequently brought up the attacks without being prompted and made multiple comments about how everyone thought he did it.
Mm-hmm.
However, he always denied being responsible. When asked why no one came forward during the original investigation, Terry said that everyone had different motivations. Quote, "Sometimes they said we didn't want to falsely accuse. Sometimes they said we thought the police were handling it. Others said, well, we were afraid if we riled him up, he would come after us."
Yeah.
I think that primarily the reason the crime was not solved back in 1977 was the police were expecting citizens to call in clues, and the citizens were expecting the police to solve the crime. Mm. And there was a disconnect, a lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And so this next part, so I agree with Deli sources, but I also found other sources that the timeline is a little wonky for me. So.
Yeah.
We'll do our best. But after learning this much, the detective who took the case over in more present day in the 90s ordered Dam to take two polygraphs. But I also read that these polygraph tests actually happened back in 1977.
Got it.
And so I'm not sure exactly which way it is.
But they were taken.
They were taken. Yes. They were also labeled inconclusive because Dam showed up to take the tests on meth. Whoopsie.
I mean, you could just reschedule. Simple rescheduling of the test.
You could. Or like, you could just show up on meth.
For 11 days. And they're like, yeah, let's just get this over with.
Right. He's here.
Jerking the thing off the table.
Right. Yeah. Dam has never been charged in connection to Terry and Shayna's attack. Mm. And there is no physical evidence that links him to the crime. Dam is adamant that he had nothing to do with the attacks that night. In 2006, it was reported that Dam was in jail awaiting trial on robbery and assault charges, but it's unclear if he was ever convicted of those crimes. Mm. And I couldn't find any other real information on him. There was no like criminal records readily available.
Yeah.
It's very circumstantial.
Yes. Just his outfit and he's
outfit, angry. He had a truck and an axe at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both Terry and the detective on the case believe that Dam was the perpetrator. Terry said that in the hundreds of interviews she conducted over the years, everything she found pointed to Dam. The detective said, quote, "There's no doubt in my mind with what I came up with that if the statute of limitations wouldn't have been an issue, then I would have taken it to grand jury and I'm sure I would have gotten a positive indictment."
Mm-hmm.
Terry has chosen not to confront Dick Dam about the Klein Falls incident. She said, quote, "I don't want to give him the power to rationalize, deny, justify, say he's sorry for something I don't think he is sorry for. It gives him power."
Mm-hmm.
"That kind of confrontation is something you see in the movies, and it's not something that works for me in real life."
That's very wise.
Mm-hmm. I also read that, and it could be that this was written before this next part happened that I read about, but I read that she went to his hearing for the robbery and assault charges and even colored her scars with lipstick so they would stand out. Mm. And just sat in the courtroom and
wow.
made, like, so that he could see her. And I don't think she talked to him or anything, but she just wanted to be present in the courtroom. Which, fuck yes.
Badass.
Fuck yes, Terry.
So badass.
Terry had always felt alone with her memory of the attack. Shayna never regained her memory of that night and distanced herself from the incident, which left Terry feeling like no one understood. But by interviewing people in the community, she realized that many of them not only remembered the attack, but had a story about how it impacted them. One such person was Kathy Devlin, a 23-year-old operating room technician at the hospital that Terry and Shayna were taken to.
Mm.
So she was 23 years old at the time that it happened.
Yeah.
She said that this night was a defining moment for her, seeing two girls so close to her age fighting for their lives. Quote, "It was the most horrendous thing I had ever seen as far as damage to another human being that has been totally, in my opinion, on purpose. I had never seen anything that was a purposeful act that seemed so evil."
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, Kathy always wondered what happened to Terry and Shayna. She finally breathed a sigh of relief 19 years later when Terry stopped by her workplace and introduced herself.
Oh, my God.
She called Terry's book a, quote, "cleansing gift." And again, I would die. I would just like, oh, goodbye. Cross arms, fall over. To wonder and to think about it. And then to see this fully formed woman trying to take back her story and investigate it for herself and know that she's okay.
Yeah.
Like, fuck yeah.
That's incredible.
In September of 1977, Shayna's parents donated $3,000 to St. Charles Medical Center, which is, you know, $7.4 million today.
Yes, totally.
Under the names of the two teenagers who found Terry that night and helped save both women.
God.
The money went toward new critical care monitoring equipment for the hospital. For Terry, Klein Falls is, quote, "finally a neutral place." She still suffers from PTSD, but she's been able to process her trauma by taking agency in the investigative process and putting her story into a narrative. In her book, she writes that she's finally broken out of, quote, "the claustrophobic confines of my memory."
Mm.
Terry also said that she's been able to give a new meaning to the place that once haunted her. Quote, "Central Oregon in general just really heightens that PTSD response, but it's not a negative thing. It's turned into a positive thing. I have very, very deep bonds in that community because of the way the community has treated me."
No doubt.
"And I feel like I'm part of the community's history." And that.
Oh, my God.
Sweet angels is the very fucked up Klein Falls axe attack.
Well, I really, really needed a survivor story today. So well timed, Deli. That was a good instinct.
Yes.
I definitely don't have the hydration in my veins, you know, to process death today. But that is there's so much to that that is redemptive and hopeful. and fucking awful. And mm-hmm. just imagining what this guy has done to other people is a nightmare.
Yeah.
But
yes,
God, people are just incredible. The power to heal, the power mm-hmm. to then like make something beautiful out of something so fucking disgusting and horrible, and to touch lives and connect with people and make connections. And that's
yeah.
incredible.
Yes, it really is. To go on and become a doctor and
yeah.
Yeah, just okay. That happened. That sucked. Let's go, world.
It's really hard to embrace the complicated nature of life, mm-hmm. like all of it. That's the biggest challenge, I think, for most people, is to lean into the horrible and the beautiful equally. And it sounds like she did that, and that is mm-hmm. a miracle. So bravo to you. I would just go home. And I would stay home.
I know. I mean, I go home and stay home exactly. like 75% of the time anyway.
Exactly.
So, yes, I would definitely never leave my house.
I would be like, I'm going to go forge new friendships as I investigate my own horrendously awful and traumatizing attack.
No.
And live life. Live a new chapter of my life and confront my demons and mm-hmm. connect with my trauma. What?
No, I'm watching Vanderpump and eating ice cream for the rest of the days that I have been given. I mean,
but no, bravo.
Incredible.
Bravo.
Incredible.
Yeah. God. I have so many internal thoughts that can't become words right now because Clifford the Big Red Dog is just bouncing all over my brain and my face and my bones, and I'm all puffy and, but... Yeah. I think we're all feeling the feelings, right, guys?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who all saw this? Who all? God, my Midwestern roots are just popping right out of me right now. Wondering, my question is, who saw the total eclipse this week?
I didn't.
Oh, boy. I sure did. I was very lucky because, again, I don't like to leave the house. And so I was just very lucky to just be in the path of the of totality.
Yes.
It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. That's a literal once in a lifetime. Well, in mm-hmm. our case, it could have been twice in a lifetime. I've missed both of them, but
I think you can go. You just have to be willing to travel.
Yeah, well, right? The next one's in 40 years. So I just have to live 40 years.
The next. Well, there's more. There's one coming up, but you have to go to South America.
Oh, right. The next one in. Right. In the,
yeah,
United,
in the United States.
States. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can go to while. South America.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Do it right now.
I can do that. I'm a grown up. I can do what I want.
Exactly. No, what a cool thing. And our entire, yeah. literally what I said, Sadie's been helping host our entire family. Our mom is one of six. Yeah. And they all came to yep, Indiana, central Indiana, and with the children mm-hmm. and the.
Yeah, our buttload of cousins. Mm-hmm. Old friends, not that they are old, but the very long time friends of our parents came.
Which from Colorado.
I haven't seen since I was a teenager. Yep. They just so happened to listen to the podcast. So, hey, Lance and Cheryl.
Hi, Lance and Cheryl.
I was telling Courtney that I cannot choose the best part, but one of the best parts of the weekend was getting to see you guys again.
I'm so jealous. Just even hearing their voices, like just slammed me right back into good memories, basically.
Yeah, right.
Sadie and I are from Colorado. I don't know if any of you know that. I don't know if you've ever said that, but we actually were born in Colorado. We just got transplanted to central Indiana.
And never resented our parents for that choice.
Definitely never resented them for that.
I know. Such a cool weekend. Courtney had a transformative weekend.
I really did. I was so sad to not be there. There were very few other things that would have kept me from it, but I got into the Overlook Film Festival and woo-hoo-hoo. I met, for those of you who don't know who are new, I have another podcast. It's called Please Leave. It's a narrative horror podcast. And I decided to just very, very much on a whim, decided to make a short film based on one of the episodes with my buds. We've been talking about making horror for centuries. And Ben Chandler, who's an actor for Please Leave, who kind of just changed my life. We just connected in this way that I like exploded me open creatively. So I filmed this film in June. I asked Ben in February 8th of last year, if he would do it. And he said, yes, he lives in London. He was going to be in the US. So it was just like, let's just do it. Great. And 1 year to the day, February 8th of this year, we got accepted into our first Festival.
Chills.
And then a couple weeks after that, we got into the Overlook Festival, which my business partner James and I were at 1 year ago. And the Overlook is a pretty big deal for horror fans. So it was a huge, huge honor to be accepted. And so I couldn't not go to the festival, right? It was like any other festival, I would have skipped it. But it's just so significant that we were at that festival as attendees in pre-production on the movie and then get to go back a year later and be in the festival. I can't even go into all of it because like a lot of this didn't happen to me and it's like just really weird personal shit, but it was weird shit went down in a very cool, significant way. I'll just say that. So Sadie was with our entire family out in the totality and I was just having the universe rocketing signs at my face.
Oh my God. Did I even tell you this part about the eclipse?
What?
You're like, no, you didn't, but you don't know what I'm going to say. So I ended up, my oldest child wasn't feeling well. And so I had to take him home so I couldn't be with the whole family during the actual eclipse part. Yeah. And so Ryan and I were home with him, standing out in our cornfield that's behind our house. But my youngest child was still with the whole family.
Yeah.
And they sat around a lake to watch the eclipse.
Oh, I think.
And you know what happened?
Yeah. Tell the people.
A fucking bald eagle scrawled across the sky. I think it was during the actual eclipse. I don't know if it was like during totality, but while the eclipse was happening, a bald eagle scrawled. And then my youngest was leaving for school today and he was like, Mommy, did I tell you about the coyotes? And I was like, you didn't tell me about the coyotes. And I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. So somebody who's listening, you'll have to tell us who was there. But I don't know if he just meant in general he can hear coyotes at our parents' house or if he meant the coyotes went off during the eclipse, which they could have very well done. I was like, oh, my God, if I missed out because I'm a mom who has to like rub my kid's back when his tummy hurts. I missed a bald eagle. I missed the eclipse with the family. I missed coyotes. But really, I'm so happy that he had that. He said, when will this happen again? Can it be like every day? I was like, dude, I wish.
What a cool thing.
Yeah. What my oldest kept saying, I can't, my brain can't even process what just happened. It was very sweet.
So sweet. Yeah, yesterday was, it felt very powerful. Very powerful day. I will be processing it forever. I was telling my friends, like, I felt like I needed to go get a tattoo because there's so many things happened that were so significant. And I was like, I don't want to forget all of this. It feels so important. Mm-hmm. And so anyway. Yeah, anyway. Anybody else get cool eclipse stories? You want to tell us about them?
Do it. It was so fun.
It was so fun. Okay, let's do some name time. I do have name time. And let's do, I am feeling a little tarot-y today, you guys, for the shouty outies. Let's just harness that eclipse energy and I'll pull a couple cards.
Great.
So for those of you, I haven't explained name time in a minute. For those of you who are new, go back to the Charlotte Grabby episode 11 or something. And in that episode, there was a woman. I watched a Dateline or something, 48 hours, about Charlotte Grabby's case, which is,
I think, what was it, a forensic file?
Horrendous. Yeah, maybe. Popular television show. There was a woman in the show called Cindy Pancake. She gave like the least important, not, she's not a not important person, but the thing she said did not elevate the case as far as retelling it. Like, you know what I mean? She was like,
yes,
I just thought Charlotte was such a nice lady. It's a shame what happened to her. What, you know, like that kind of a comment, important for the show, but not for, right. But I worked her name into the episode because I just can't not. Cindy Pancake is such a good name. So from then on, people have been, you all have been sending me names to read that are amazing names. And so here is name time. Starting with Trip Perks. A dentist in Live Oak named Dr. Herbert Mantooth DDS.
No way. No fucking way.
Kindergarten teacher Mrs. Appleby. Yeah,
we had teachers growing up, Appleton.
Oh, we did have an Appleton.
Yeah.
Math teacher, Mr. Oh, some of these aren't that great. Art teacher, Mrs. Clay.
Ah.
Psychiatrist, Dr. Strange. Random physical therapist they found online, Dr. Rachel Fingerer. No, nope. Quanda Quakers.
Quanda?
Yes.
So cute.
So good. Speaking of which, Phil Good.
Phil does feel good.
Does feel good. Dusty Rail. Harry yes. Weiner.
Yes.
Mathena Fleur and Wadley Dorkulis. They live near you. I'm sure your husband sent me those. If I don't get reborn as Wadley Dorkulis, I am not okay.
That's such a good name. You are Dorkulis always, though.
I am Dorkulis always, but I want to be Wadley Dorkulis. Rhiannon Kielbasa.
Oh.
Darlene Hamburger.
No.
Fodner Wagnock.
Well, yeah. Duh.
Oh, and a couple of these I might have read already. I think I was able to separate them, but my very sophisticated notes system got a little overlappy. I think I weeded it apart, but I might have, whatever. You're getting
whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yep. Golden Ray.
Yes.
Christy J. Moistner. I feel like
we did
those words yes, before. Yes, them, but yes. I really would like to Moistner. Say Christy J. Moistner again.
Yes.
TBI Special Agent Scott Lott. Nestle Fudge. I might have said Nestle Fudge yep. last time. Okay. Robin Jeep. I know I didn't say that because I came no. from the credits at Overlook. Robin Jeep. Last name Jeep is so good. Holly Woods, PhD. Dr. Holly Woods.
Oh my God.
Mariola Areola.
Yep. I was getting ready. Oh, and yeah, it rhymes with Areola. That's our
yep.
last name.
Yep. Mariola Areola.
Oh my God.
Yep. Joni Osterstatter. Oh, that's the person who wrote in. This person wrote in and the name was Joni Osterstatter. And I was like, if you don't mm-hmm. call yourself out for name time, they did. But
OK, good.
Yes. They were sharing phrases kids use in place of correct names. Their daughter calls porta potties trash can potties.
So accurate.
Their son calls pant legs leg sleeves.
Don't then, ever let them change it.
And then she said, plus our last name is ridiculous. It's so good. Otter Statter. I mean, mm-hmm.
perfect.
Feels so good coming out of the mouth. That's all. That is all.
That's so good.
That is.
I drove. Oh, I went to see you. That's where I was going.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Shankster Brothers Septic Tank Company.
Yep.
And on the way home, I saw a Vietnamese restaurant called Pho Real. Real. And I thought, yeah, I don't know if I've seen that one. I don't think it's so perfect. I love Ooh, and now names. I'm hungry I for love... some noodles.
Oh God, I had Thai food yesterday. It's probably part of the reason I'm so puffy right now. Mammal cannot go on planes, too. Man. I just get fucked up by airplanes these days. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm gonna go on them, but whew.
Yeah, no. Airplanes, eclipses. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe you were going to fly during the eclipse. That would be fucking cool.
I was even a little nervous flying after the eclipse, but it was like the smoothest, literally the smoothest. I even had a layover. I tend not to book layovers because I'm rich. Just kidding. I just can't, you know, I'm old. I get too stressed out. Mm-hmm. But I was not rich enough to not book a layover this time. And so I had a layover in St. Louis. I've never just seamless. I mean, literally like walked off a plane onto the other plane, flew, landed. Bag first and second. I had to buy a bag because Clint and I went to the ReStore and I had to buy a bunch of shit at the ReStore. So I had to buy a bag to get it back home. Three bags right out. Boop, boop, boop. Walked straight to the shuttle that took me to the parking garage. The man helped me with my bags. The man asked me where I wanted to be dropped off and which of the two entrances was preferable. So the eclipse was my BFF. I tipped the man. It's just so everyone's aware. I was riding my bike in New Orleans. Well, riding Clint's bike in New Orleans. And this woman was riding a bike and I pull up next to her. And in New Orleans, it is compulsory to talk to people when you pass them, which I mm-hmm. love. Sometimes you can tell they don't want to talk to you. They're like, how y'all doing? Really good.
They'll still say hello.
And I thought she said something, and I thought she said, can you help me send an email? And I was like,
yes.
No, that is the one thing I will not do for you, ma'am. She's riding a bike. I was riding a bike. We pull up next to each other.
Can you help me send an email?
Can you help me send an email? And I was like, no, I will do pretty much anything else. I'm not pulling out my phone and helping you send an email. But I said, excuse me. She said, can you help me get something to eat or help me get a meal or something?
Okay.
And I said, yes. Pulled over, like got some money out and gave her some money. And she's like, I love your cute pixie cut.
Oh God.
Like, thank you.
So I really wish.
Where are y'all from? I said, Chicago. She's like, take me with you. I want to get out of here. Like, it's cold. You don't want to go to Chicago. Trust me. I don't want to leave New Orleans ever. Mm-hmm. And then she's just screaming at me as I'm riding away. No, leave me. Thank you. Take me with you.
Okay, but next time you think somebody is asking you to help them send an email, you say yes.
No, Sadie.
I'm so nosy. Yes. Yeah, I will dictate it for you. Tell me what you want to say. Is it a breakup? Is it a job offer? Yes.
It was like 11 p.m.
Ransom note.
You know, she's like, can you help me send an email?
Better. That's even better.
I wish that we had just like ridden bikes next to each other too. And I would pull out my phone and like dictated the email as we were riding. And we were both on cruisers. Just some ladies, just middle-aged ladies riding it. Cruisers sending emails from strangers.
Dear Mr. Johnson, I
can you help me send an email?
I am
can
putting my 2 weeks with you? Notice. No. Exactly. I'm going to Chicago. Goodbye.
I've met this neat nice lady. She's taking me to Chicago.
Can you help me send an email?
No, I'm glad I didn't say. I'm glad I said. Excuse me, because I was shit. Like, I mean, I really jumped off of my bike. Because I said, like, can you help me get something? Yes, yeah,
of course. Emails, no, 100%.
Yes, that is I think that's a good representation of my character. That story.
Yes,
I don't want to help you send an email. That sounds horrible, but I will give you a lot of money.
Absolutely.
So you can eat.
Don't make me call anybody.
Can you help me format this in Excel? No. Nope.
Speaking of making calls, I had to reschedule a doctor's appointment. And I was hoping to try to get it in sooner. I'm getting ready to go on a trip.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, do you have any openings? No, but you can call every day at the end of the day and we can see if there's been any cancellations. And I was like, I would rather die.
That's never going to happen.
I'll reschedule for the week after.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's just not. Mm-mm. Being medicated helps, but there are just still certain things that I need to set boundaries with, like sending emails for strangers or calling the doctor every day to see if I can get in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, all right. Let's read. I have already pulled cards. You haven't even said the name, but the cards are speaking to me. Who is first?
And also, if you want a card, if you want a shout out, join our Patreon, please. We're getting there, man. We've got quite a backlog, but we will continue until we get through it.
Yeah.
So for $5 a month, as little as $5, you can get very nearly 200 episodes.
Yeah.
Like 196 or something at this
Good
point.
Good God.
Whole ass episodes.
Huge episodes. Yes.
200 of them. Going on a trip. Are you going on a trip? $5, you guys.
$5 and goodies, which we are coming due to send out again.
Yeah, so much all the time. Always do for goodies. We have not forgotten those either. So do it.
And we're going to do a party in May. We're going to do it's time to hang out with our patrons. We always have the loveliest, most fun time. And last time I think I pulled tarot, I would do it again this time if everyone wants to. It's just fun. It's good. It's a good really icebreaker.
Cool. Yeah. It's fun to see everybody's faces.
Yes. So
if you want.
Get in there, join it up, and come on down, as we always say. So who did I pull these beautiful cards for? Who do these belong
to? Thank you so much to John T.
John T. Well, you got the Ace of Swords and you got the Sun of Cups upside down, which I believe means that you need to pay more attention to it. So let's just do a little quick Ace of Swords. It's beautiful sword with lightning shooting toward it and rainbow snake in an infinity wrapped around it. So that's a real casual looking card. This means victory, success, and great achievement. So
done and done.
The power to rule that comes with royalty. Listen, John T, with great power comes great responsibility. So be careful, but also
good for you.
I mean, I feel like this infinity thing too, like a snake wrapped around a sword that's getting struck by lightning and an infinity sign. I feel like you're cruising, dude. I feel like you are cruising. And the Sun of Cups is a very special card for me. It represents my short film, actually. I pulled a card after we shot and I was so depressed that I was going to die because shooting the film was one of the best weeks of my life. And I pulled a card and it was Sun of Cups. And so I love that card and it's upside down. So I think it's, you are just a charismatic motherfucker is what it's telling me. Sun of Cups is very generous, but also unavailable, but in a very generous way. So everybody wants a piece of the Sun of Cups and they will give it, but also protect self, you know, like there's as much for self as there is for others. So I feel like this is probably the best reading I've ever done, John T. You are welcome.
You win all of the prizes.
Whatever you're doing, continue to do it. But I think what you're doing is just being you. And that is a very, very powerful and beautiful and attractive.
Sounds like it's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So keep it up.
Right. Don't doubt yourself. All right. Thank you so much to...
I can't wait to hear this name because this card, I've never pulled this card in my life.
Holy shit.
Yes.
Jonah S. And it's, what's the currency? S-E-K. Scandinavian?
Scandinavian?
Let me see. I don't have an address.
Are
but
you
let me
Scandi? Because this card looks Scandi to me.
S-E. Come on. Swedish.
Also, do we have any people listening from Japan or France? Anybody out there listening in Japan or France?
Tell us.
I have recently become completely obsessed with Japan. In a collecting antiques way, and you all are blowing my mind. But I was I don't know if we have any Japanese listener in Japan, and I also don't know if we have any French listeners. Anyway, this is not about that.
This is about Jonah.
J-O-N-N-A.
It's probably not pronounced that way.
Daughter of Pentacles. Mm. This is a baby deer with a pentacle above her head. Pentacle always means money. And I love the early cards. That means like always means new beginning, fresh. And this is a baby deer standing under a rainbow. Yeah.
In spring solar eclipse time for us.
Exactly. This means experimenting and trusting. Responsible, kind. Legs might be a little shaky. She's ready to go out and make her mark.
Go do it.
This makes me emotional. She's not just a planner. She's a doer. She's eager to explore her surroundings, consider and create her influence on the world. That really makes me emotional. That is a beautiful card. Go. You're still young. You might be a little naive, but this is, you got to go. Go. You're not going to be reckless. You're not overly preparing, which is good. You need to follow your instinct and let life take you where it needs to, because it's going to take you exactly where you need to go. Honey.
Yes.
I love that card. And everything's going to be okay. I had a long part of the intensity yesterday. I was having a long conversation with someone very close to me about making decisions based on love and not fear.
It's really,
which is really hard to do.
Yeah, once you can.
We were telling somebody very close to us too recently that once you're in your 40s, like, and you have half of your life is over, and you know just how little goes bad for the most part, and how much you stress. Oh, it doesn't. It's never fucking true.
No,
don't. This is a 40-year-old speaking.
Mama,
I swear to
Mama
God,
say.
It's going to be okay.
Seriously.
It is going. You are wasting your time stressing. You are wasting your time not doing things because you're afraid. That is a net neutral or a net negative. You need net positive and you should go. Your little deer legs will carry you, I promise. Or you'll die and then you won't care because you're dead.
I just got my hair cut this week. My darling hairstylist who's in her mid-20s. And I just adore her. We adore each other. But it's very clear that we are from different generations. And I kept yelling at her, "Mom, Mama says so." And she's like, "You are not a Mama." And I was like, "Oh, honey, I am. And I'm fully into it. I'm so okay with being your Mama."
I love being Mama.
Yes. I was born to be a Mama.
was hanging out with a younger person this weekend, a supernaturally gorgeous younger person with supernatural talent. Like this woman, I just rarely meet people who are this powerful and talented. And talking about Clint and Lee, our besties mm-hmm. who live in New Orleans, talking about their child and how their child is like kind of in this afraid, you know, more afraid period, like home kind of period, mm-hmm. you know, phase. And I was like, yeah, they're just going through their cottage core phase. And we were all like, aren't we all though? Aren't
yeah,
we all
right?
going through our cottage core phase? Yeah.
So much.
We're all Higgy. We're all cottage core. We're all mamma core. Yes. Mamma core. But you know what? The thing to know about mamas, they will get out there and swat you with things.
Oh, God, yes.
Scream you down. Nothing yes. is more powerful than a mamma. So.
No, that's, yeah. And that's basically what we were talking about. Like, yep. you just got to own it.
Yep.
People pleasing is it's not it.
No.
Not it.
Don't be that. Be no, mamma. Mamma is going to go out with her bra on and chase down the kid and, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't beat your children, but you know what I mean?
Metaphorically.
Yeah. And not, then hug yes. you and tell you it's okay and then make you something really delicious.
Right.
And then scream at the television and swear and drink a lot. You know, mamas are yeah. fucking awesome. Mamas rule.
Yep.
We
yep.
are mamas.
Yep.
Okay. Who's next? Because I pulled a card. It came right out and it is a precious card.
Oh, boy. Well, thank you so much to Anne Alicia. Alicia? Anne Alicia.
Anne Alicia, you got the star. Ba-ba-ba-bum. You're bringing hope. It's bringing hope, renewed power, and strength to carry on with life.
Fuck yeah.
It shows how abundantly blessed you are by the universe.
Oh, my
universe.
God.
Yeah, you're being nourished to ensure fertility, ooh. Like growth. And I'm not necessarily, I mean, if you're maybe trying to conceive, then want. That's a good sign.
Oh, and this is in pound currency, so you know what that means.
You are going to get pregnant. Just kidding, not quite. If you want to be,
yeah, yes, good, good. But you are not. You are from the UK. It looks like. I don't mean like pound.
Yes, you
town.
Do. Yes, you do. There's also a place in a store. Like I'm assuming it's a chain, like the Dollar Tree, called Pound Land. Yes, that is very that. Funny to Americans. Just you know, very funny. Uh-huh. Hoping it's funny to Brits too, but Pound Land. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah. Basically, inner strength. You have practical strengths and abilities, but you're also experiencing your spiritual abilities.
I mean, what? Good. Yeah. Done.
The star's astrological correspondent is Aquarius, which if you know anything about astrology, that everybody wants to be you, the fucking Aquarius. And if you are listening and you're an Aquarius, everybody wants to be you and you know it. That is my sister sign, so I can talk snotty like this to you because...
But not me. That's not my sign.
No.
Your sister's my, sign.
Yeah, I'm a Leo. Yeah. Sister sign of Leo is Aquarius, so we are very... drawn to each other, but also like, ugh, you know, Aquarians yeah. are like Leos want to be Aquarians. So that's why that is jealousy you hear in my voice because uh-huh. y'all are cool. You're attractive. You're unimpressed. You're completely unavailable. But everyone wants to know you.
What are the birthdays for Aquarians?
It's dad. Dad's an Aquarian. I was January, thought. End of yeah. January. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe early February, but yeah, that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yes, this is a good reading. All the way around. People are envious of you. You got everything you need. You're in balance physically and fucking spiritually. Go, run, fly, little baby star, fly.
Look at these badasses.
I know.
It was just said that we created.
We created you. No, the eclipse is given is I'm glad I pulled because the eclipse has a lot to tell you today, guys.
Glad we created you.
Yes.
We did a good job.
Okay, one more and I've got the cards out and they are upside down, so it's time to listen up.
Well, thank you so much to Lisa V.
Lisa V, you got the Daughter of Cups and the Mother of Swords. This is some ooh. Seriously feminine energy. Let's see what Daughter of Cups came out first. So we'll take that one, that little, a new idea or opportunity has come to you out of the blue. Your creative energy is flowing.
Yes.
And now the question is how you will achieve it. Well, I'm going to assume that the Mother of Wands is going to tell you because the Mother of Wands is a snake. protecting her eggs.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. I feel like somebody got this last time we polled. A mother is someone you would not want to mess with. She may be kind of warm, but she's fierce and loyal, not afraid to stand her ground.
Like a mamaw.
Like a mamaw. You got the mamaw of wands.
You got the mamaw.
Someone who's confident, outgoing, friendly, approaches love and relationships with self-confidence.
Oh my God.
You got the mamaw of wands.
Oh my God. Now we have to create our own line of tarot cards. Holy shit.
But basically, it means you're starting to blossom, symbolizing life. Basically, you're getting an opportunity and shit's about to pop off for you, honey.
Fuck. God, I love that time. I love it.
So much. And just harness the mamaw. If you start to feel nervous, just imagine mamaw with her bra out.
Yeah.
And her little switch out, chasing the kid down to the mailbox or whatever.
Not to beat him, just to let him know who's boss.
Yes. Well, to teach him a lesson out of love, because he'd love him too and just want him to behave. But then you're like, all right, come inside and mamaw's going to make you something delicious.
Here's some noodles.
It's always noodles. Butter noodles, egg noodles with butter on them.
Chicken and noodles.
I just straight up butter noodles. That's all I need in life. Oh, it's got protein. It's got carbohydrates. It's disgusting, but comforting.
Yum.
Anyway, you all are not disgusting. You're very comforting.
No.
Thank you for listening. Please harness the mamaw. Please lean into your cottage core if you need it.
Please.
But also, the time is now. Go get to swatting.
You can do it. We believe in you.
And if you want to spend more time with this, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube at They Will Kill. You can go to our website, theywillkill.com, and you can always email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com.
And you might think we're famous. You might think we trend on the top 10 podcasts of America. But we don't. So tell your friends.
Yes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us, please. It really does help.
It very much
does. Spread the word.
Yep.
Do you love us? Tell your friends about us.
Yes, it's huge. That's the biggest piece. Talk about us on Reddit if you are so inclined.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Very powerful push. Yeah, done in the mean way. But also, who cares at this point? I'm not going to read it, but if it's there and it's nice, it really helps. Really helps.
No such thing as bad publicity unless you read it and it makes you want to cry.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you, AJ Bergans, for your music.
Thank you so much.
Speaking of being adults, I was talking to AJ's wife, my darling sister, Sandra, and I was like, I miss you guys. And she's like, I miss you too. I wish we could get together. And then I was like, hey, guess what? I'm an adult.
Yeah.
I can just buy plane tickets. And so I'm going to go see him next week.
Yeah. I'm so jealous. Those freaking twins are the cutest.
No.
I need it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And remember,
just get out there and mamaw it up.
Mamaw. That's all you need.
Yep. Of all genders. Every gender can be a mamaw.
I mean, mamaw is very non-binary.
Yes.
Duh.
Mamaw is mamaw. We love you, Mamaw.
We love you so much. Thank you for being here.
Thank
and we'll
so
see
much.
You in just a little bit of time.
See you then.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'm journalist Carolyn Osorio, and I invite you to join me and my co-host, Brandon Morgan, on our podcast, Criminal Mischief. From law enforcement officers seeking justice to victims' families seeking answers, every week there's a new case and a new victim whose story deserves to be told. New episodes of Criminal Mischief drop every Tuesday.